Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org. Well, at the beginning of the year, as 2024 began, we started a new sermon series called Drawn In, all about embracing the creative life with God. It was inspired by a book with the same title, Drawn In, written by Tony Bronsick. And in that book, Tony Bronsick claims that if indeed we are created in the image of God, that means we are more than just the artistic products of God's creativity, but we are made to reflect, to embody God's creativity. We are made to be creative, to have a creative life. And so part of what it means to be faithful to all of that is to learn to nurture and express our creativity. Tony Bronsick also points out that it's more than just being creative. It's paying attention to how it is that God creates. God does more creative work than just at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1. All throughout Scripture, we see testimonies to God's creativity in the world and in communities and in individuals. And yet, there's something about Genesis 1, that beautiful Hebrew poetry, which places front and center God's creative spirit, God's creativity. And perhaps we would be wise to pay attention to the rhythms, the movements, the waves of God's creativity. They might be instructive for us to be faithful to our call to reflect God's creativity, to be co-creators with God, to nurture our creative life. So we'll read in just a moment from Genesis chapter 1 again as we've traced out these movements, these waves in God's creative work. Movements of dreaming, movements of hovering, movements of risk-taking and listening, and today, reintegrating. Each of us are called to express our creativity as reflections of God's image in and through us, and we do that in different ways. Not all of us are called to be authors or poets, lyricists or musicians, sculptors or painters. We're going to read in a moment from 1 Corinthians 12, where St. Paul lifts up for us the beautiful diversity of the church and how we are united in the body of Christ to use each and every one of our unique gifts for that shared common goal of glorifying God and blessing others. So I want to invite you this morning as we consider what it means to enter into a space of reintegrating as part of this creative work. I invite you to read Genesis chapter 1. We'll read together verse 28 through 31, and then we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. We find ourselves in Genesis chapter 1 at the sixth day of creation. I needed to remind myself, and I guess I had forgotten, maybe I never really internalized the fact that on the sixth day of creation, this poetic time, let me be clear, not scientific time, poetic time that is meant to reveal for us the character of God and what it means to be human and what it means to relate to our world. On the sixth poetic day, it's not all about humans. The humans are in the afternoon. In the morning are the creatures, every living creature that God creates. Then God creates humans in the image of God. And then God does this. Verse 28. God blessed them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And now the writing from St. Paul to the church at Corinth, reading from the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 27. "For just as the body, as one, is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. It's really driving home this point. And in case you missed it, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The word of God for the people of God. My middle child went to forest school last fall. And at forest school, at the end of his graduation from that semester of forest school, he presented me with these beautiful photos that he had taken. He had gone out into the wilderness of eastern Kentucky with his class and learned some things about photography and had taken these really cool photos, which were meant to focus on different aspects of the beauty of God's creation. And the director of the school had taken all the photos that had been taken digitally and got them all printed in this really cool artistic way, these little cards, and gave them to the parents at the end of the time, at the end of the semester. I loved it. It was beautiful, this wonderful creativity, this wonderful artistic project that my son did. And I said, man, I am so excited. I can't wait to figure out a way to display these, to put together some kind of artwork with them that can present them to the world. They're so incredible. And so this last week, perhaps inspired by this very sermon series and thinking about opportunities to be creative and how life-giving it is to be creative and how wonderful it is to be creative, even if we don't practice creativity as much as we'd like, I went shopping with my son and we bought this wood planked background. We bought some jute twine and some clothespins, mini clothespins. And we busted out the hot glue gun. And we made this little display and then hung the pictures up, arranging them in a particular way, in a particular order. We stood back and looked at it and smiled. Creativity upon creativity integrated into something new, a piece of art. What once my son had done in the wilderness now was something we shared in that moment of creating something new together. As God creates in Genesis chapter 1, this beautiful Hebrew poetry, lifting up the creative spirit of God and the meaning of what it is to be human and to be in relationship to God and God to be in relationship to all that is, we see a gradual unfolding, the creative rhythms making space for more creation, creativity upon creativity. And the thing is, nothing is created that is meant to stand alone. God doesn't create this over here and put it aside, and this over here and put it aside, and this over here and put it aside. No, each layer of creation is reintegrated into what came before. Layers of complexity, layers of relationship, layers of subtlety and beauty. The human beings who are created on the sixth day, well, They're not created to be alone. They're not created to stand apart from creation. Instead, they are created to be a part of this beautiful, created world that God has envisioned and dreamed. And so made to reflect the image of God, made to reflect God's very creativity, God does what? God blesses them. God blesses them and invites them to be in relationship to all God has created. Now, I want to say a word about some of the language in Genesis chapter 1, language of subdue and dominion. That language can seem rather aggressive, top-down, authoritarian, and really doesn't do justice to the words that are working there, really doesn't do justice to the picture of God we get in Genesis 1 or Genesis 2, which is to come. Better words might reflect the kind of gardening and caretaking that are everywhere in this Hebrew poetry, in these first two chapters of Genesis. Perhaps the language of stewardship, being entrusted to care for on behalf of God, is a better way of understanding what God invites human creatures to do. This is language of caretaking, of caring for the relationship that every human has to the created world, to the earth, to the creatures, to the vegetation, to the seas, to the air, to ourselves, to each other. We begin as the very creativity of God, not meant to stand alone, but to be in relationship to everything that is. And each layer of creation is reintegrated into the whole. Well, then we turn to the New Testament, and St. Paul recognizes this dynamic in who God is, recognizes that Christ is a part of this creative outpouring of God to bring together, to hold together a diversity of people and ideas and things and all creation, and speaks about this beautiful metaphor of the body of Christ in which there are many parts. Interestingly, in most of Paul's writing, when trying to talk about the body of Christ, trying to talk about the community of faith that is being riddled with division, in which there's hostility and enmity, hurt, strife. Usually Paul is saying, hey, you who are boasted up and think you're better than everybody else, take it down a notch. You're not that great. And we hear some of that in 1 Corinthians 12, but something else is going on. Did you catch it? He's also telling those who are suffering from inferiority complex, who think they're not worth anything, who think they don't matter compared to those who are boasting about themselves or think they're great. He's also calling them up and saying, no, you matter. You are just as important. In fact, part of the job of the community of faith is to remind everyone of their value and their worth and their place as part of the whole. No one brings nothing to the table. God has gifted all of us with something to bring and to share and to enjoy. The body of Christ, this beautiful metaphor, is also interesting in this place because St. Paul doesn't talk about Christ as the head of the church in this passage. Indeed, Christ is the whole thing. Perhaps the skeletal structure, perhaps the sinews and the ligaments that hold everything together. You can find Christ in the hand and in the head and in the shoulder and in the knee and in the ankle. There's this sense in which Christ can't be even pulled out from the community of faith. And there's something about the community and the way that it relates to each other. And what does Paul say? Relates to each other in care. Just as human creatures were called to care for all creation and care for one another, so the body of Christ is meant to reflect that same care. And in reflecting that care, the creative spirit of God can be seen and glimpsed and felt and understood. We live in a world where there are lots of things trying to tear us apart. We live in a world where communities are torn asunder by identities that are used to drive wedges between us, that are weaponized for political gain, that are monetized for profit. It is hard work to be a community with different ideas, different backgrounds, different perspectives, different aspirations, different hurts, different dreams. And yet, God has called us to each other. to cultivate care that isn't always grounded in understanding. But the creative Spirit of God invites us to find a way to hold together ourselves and our communities when so much would pull us apart. To witness to the very creative Spirit of God to bring together what the world might pull apart in sin and death. I'm mindful as well, as Paul is talking about the body, that this is true both collectively and individually. There's so much within our own lives that perhaps we want to ignore or minimize or reject. Perhaps you're familiar with kind of the toxic positivity or the cult of positivity where the only thing that matters is happiness and joy, and we just don't pay attention to anything that's sad or grief-worthy or conflict. We just turn our head away. The invitation to reintegrate, to bring together what would be torn apart, is an invitation for us as well to think about ourselves and those parts of ourselves that are very real and that need to be acknowledged and honored and brought in to our story in a new way, perhaps in a forgiving way, perhaps in a reconciling way, perhaps in a healing and redeeming way, but brought in as part of our story too, that anger and sadness belong with joy because they're a part of our real experience. Growing up in the church, the human body was, in my experience, was often demonized, wasn't trustworthy, would lead you astray. The job of growing up and maturing was to learn to discipline and contain and hold back the human body. And it gave me a rather low sense of the beauty, the power, the dignity of the human body. Indeed, part of my relearning faith was learning to see that spirituality is an embodied reality where our movements, where our relationships, where the work that we do is always with a body that God loves. Part of faith is learning to integrate all those parts of ourselves that we might want to minimize, reject, or ignore, that we might think aren't worthy, that we might think are bad, that we might think can't be included in a bigger story, and yet the story of Christ is continuing to include what others, what sin and death might want us to reject and separate. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Christ is the integrating principle, which is care and concern, honoring and acknowledging what is, so we can reintegrate it into a greater whole. Just as God continued to reintegrate all of creation, so God continues to reintegrate our lives, so God continues to reintegrate our communities, and so our calling as Christians is to learn to reintegrate ourselves, to join God in the creative work of learning to tell our stories more honestly and openly and completely through care and concern. Beautiful things happen when we learn to trust the body of Christ, even if we don't know how it will all shake out. This week, perhaps some of you who are friends with me on Facebook, I'm not nearly on Facebook nearly as much as I used to be, but I am on Facebook. Some of you are friends with me on Facebook and may have noticed a post, a plea for a dear couple who's down in Nashville, Tennessee. That dear couple is not just dear to me, but is dear to this church. Allie Partain Taylor and Brandon Taylor, whose permission I have to share with you. Allie used to be a children's coordinator here at South Elkhorn. Allie and Brandon were married. I had the privilege of marrying them. They moved to Oregon. They've come back and had a baby in Hopkinsville. This baby was not born well, had a serious infection, and immediately needed to be taken to Nashville. As you can imagine, Brandon and Allie were distraught, disoriented, not sure what to do. They drove down. Brandon drove down immediately. Allie, after the amount of time she needed after giving birth, came down, and they wanted to be with their baby, Hunter, as she was in the NICU, being treated and cared for. They stayed in the hospital the first night, but found out that the Ronald McDonald House wasn't available for them, and they needed a place to stay. And when Pastor Holly and I learned this, I said, I think, you know, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. Maybe I can just see if someone's got a place to stay in Nashville that they could stay at. So I posted this Facebook plea. Turns out Facebook is good for something. And the body of Christ showed up in a beautiful and unexpected way. A member of a former church that I served messaged me privately and said, I want to pay for a hotel for them right by the hospital. I don't want them to go somewhere else. I want them to be right there by their baby. I'm going to send you some money. You get the hotel room. And I want to take care of them. I was blown away at their generosity. I was blown away at their directness. And I started to share the story of Allie and Brandon and all that had gone on. And what really blew me away was when they said, I don't need the details. I just remember when my daughter was born and she needed medical attention. And I was disoriented and I was distraught and I didn't know what to do and I needed a place to stay. And after reflecting on that experience, I realized that part of my calling can be helping those in a similar situation, blessing them so they can have what they need in those moments. You don't need to tell me the details. I trust you and I trust it all to work out. Well, I can share with you, I can celebrate with you that baby Hunter is bit by bit doing better and better and better, getting less medicine, becoming more alert, moving around. There's still a long way to go. And Brandon and Allie are so appreciative of the prayers of many church communities, of the wider body of Christ, and the way that support showed up in an unexpected way. When God made human creatures, God made them to bless the earth, to bless each other, to take care of it. When God created the church, God created the church to bless each other and to model that blessing for the whole world and then to bless the world in care and concern for one another. And that blessing means taking seriously and honestly the more difficult aspects of our lives, not ignoring the struggles, the suffering that exists in our world, and the suffering and the struggle that exists within us. And learning that when we acknowledge and honor those realities, that's when healing can take place. When we bring them into the story and trust Christ to make a new story with them. Perhaps one day to bring healing and bless others with the pain and with an understanding of the pain and struggle that we have gone through ourselves. If you were to go to a church in the early days of the church, you might notice that there would be a baptismal font that if you were walking to a Catholic church now, you might see as well, an 8-sided baptismal font. Sometimes architectural design is just architectural design. Sometimes, though, architectural design is meant to tell a theological story. If you walk into a Catholic church and you see an 8-sided baptismal font, it's got 8 sides, it's octagonal in shape, because the early church called Christ Jesus the 8th day of creation. That Christ Jesus was God's own creative spirit, which had been creating through all 6 days, resting on the 7th day, and continued creating throughout time and space and into the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. To be baptized into Christ is to be baptized into the creative spirit of God, which is learning bit by bit how to bring together what we might want to reject, ignore, minimize, or pretend does not exist. And instead, with care, concern, love, forgiveness, and mercy, learn to tell a different story where everyone and everything belongs. Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.